Well, we certainly learned a lot from being here for so many years, and it's an honor to be here. And I wish I could spend more time with each one of you and catch up. So I see new faces as well. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to be in four different places in the Bible, so try to bear with me. And I want to say that this message is indicative of what I've learned for the last, I guess it's been almost a year and a half. And it's a new lens. It's a new lens by which I look through the world as a pastor and as a different kind of minister than I was before. And Paul says it, that it's written that, verse 9, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
That's right.
And I see two things in that verse. One is that the optic lens is cloudy. Eye hath not seen.
That's right.
The natural eye, the natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
That's right. Amen.
So this device here is a marvelous thing, but it's not enough for us to see the gravity of what God has given us as a work.
Amen.
And the second thing I see is that the heart lens is tremendously flawed. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and only God knows it. And so verse 10, thank God, is sort of the lens that we're trying to look through, and that is that, but God. You know, what a big... Brother Lindley said a big butts in the Bible, right? What a big butt this one is.
That's right.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
Amen.
So that gives me the insight that you see in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I'll ask you to turn there, Ephesians 3, 16. And I want to say that I've learned the importance of the inward look. I've learned the importance of the inward look. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. He says here that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man.
Amen.
So when I look through this lens where he says, God hath revealed these things unto us, it's got to be through the lens of the inner man, or my lens is not going to be functional. I'm not going to be able to see what God is asking me to see, or the field that I'm plowing is not going to be clear to me where to go and what to do. And when you're building a church, it's imperative to have that lens. So verse 17 here says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And just the idea, right, that God is dwelling in anything, much less me, is just an incredible lens to see. So as I try to focus in on what God would have me to do through the natural eye, and I can't see that too clearly, I start to think about how God has indwelt me and called me and moved me inside out. It becomes very, very exciting to be in a work like this.
Amen.
And then in verse 17, at the end, he says that you may be, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And then verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a mouthful that is.
Amen.
But, you know, what I see here is that I'm seeing the importance of the inward look. And less reliance on the outward, right? The flesh and that sort of thing. And when I start to look through the lens of having Christ dwell in my heart by faith, I get the sense that he's trying to instill in me a great deal of love. for the people that I'm witnessing to, which really doesn't come all that natural. Because a lot of people just aren't lovely.
Yeah, that's right.
Wish they were, but they're just not there. And so when you start looking through this lens and you get strengthened by a spirit, and Christ is dwelling in your heart by faith, and then you're rooted and grounded in love, the lens starts to really open up for you. And he says that now that you see through that lens of the inner man, now you're going to start comprehending some dimensions that you probably never thought possible.
Yes.
I think in three dimensions as a academic engineer, you have X, Y, and Z, but I'm not real familiar with this other dimension, breadth, length, width, and height. But when you look at what he's talking about here, it's a Christ love that passes understanding.
Yeah.
This knowledge that just is beyond mental scope.
Yeah.
You just can't get your arms around it. And then he talks about when you finally get that inner man perspective, you get this fullness, this filling of a God who just overwhelms you. He overwhelms you. And then down in verse 20, as you look through this lens, you get the solutions to your problems that are not, they're not like what we typically think about as solutions, right? When you solve a problem, you have a systematic way of approaching that problem.
Yeah.
And you come up with some answer or some set of answers, and you employ those answers, but you never seem to think about your solutions as this is something that is boundless as a solution. It's sort of a finite way of solving problems, right? We solve them, and then the next problem comes right after, and you have to figure out a way to solve that one as well. But I want you to notice that when you look through the lens of the Holy Spirit, the lens of the inner man, he says that unto him that's able to do exceedingly. I'd stop right there. If that was all he said, it'd be kind of that'd be fine with me. Just exceeding, just solve my problems in exceeding fashion, and I'm going to be in good shape. But he doesn't stop there. This is like a multiplying effect. He says it's exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Yeah. Amen.
I think, wow. I better be viewing God through the right lens, or I'm going to miss out on a whole lot of good stuff. So I've learned the importance of the inward look. And second, I've learned the importance of the outward look. I'd like you to turn to Philippians 2, chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 4. I've learned the importance of the outward look in terms of this. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You try that out for a while. Stop being so concerned with you and yours, and start being concerned, as you have to be if you're going to be a called missionary.
Yeah.
Or you're going to be a called pastor, or you're going to be a called witness, you're going to have to start being concerned with things of others suddenly.
Amen.
That's a hard thing to do.
That's right.
So now I'm looking through a different lens. I'm looking through a lens that's not about me anymore.
Yeah.
It's a lens about others now. And he says in verse 5, in confirming exactly how that lens focuses, let this mind... See, it's about your mind, what you think about, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that's the lens that I want to look through now. It's an outward look now. It's a look at souls who are dying and going to hell. And it's a look through a lens of Christ who gives me his mind, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, through the Bible. I'd like you to take an examination with me of this mind in two other portions of Scripture. In Philippians here, chapter 2, verse 7, where it says, but He, Jesus, this Christ Jesus, made Himself of no reputation. So that's our lens. So it's an outward view, where we're not looking on the things of ourselves, but we're looking on things of others. And it's an outward view where, in this lens, it has no room for your reputation. Yeah. Didn't Nebuchadnezzar learn that lesson? When he was all about his own reputation.
Yeah.
Look at these kingdoms that I have made by the power of my might.
Yeah.
Look at all this stuff that I've accumulated. Look at this golden image that I've produced. And when the music plays, they bow. So it's all about his reputation.
Yeah, right.
I'd like to tell you what he concluded about his reputation in Daniel chapter 4. He says, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing.
That's right.
They're reputed as nothing. That means they have zero reputation. King Nebuchadnezzar, how do you feel now? I feel pretty low.
Yeah.
7 years out eating like an ox,
yeah,
and with bird's claws. Right? How do you feel about your reputation now? You know what I've learned? My reputation isn't worth a hill of beans.
Yeah.
But it's all about his reputation. It's all about his honor and his glory. And then if that's not good enough, he says in the same passage, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So through this lens of an outward look, we're looking at a lifestyle where we're not thinking about ourselves, we're thinking about others, and we're now not being served, but we're servants.
Yeah, that's right.
And doesn't that make sense? Because Christ didn't come to be ministered unto. He certainly could have done that. He could have come through Jerusalem on a big fancy carriage or a horse and with nice garments, and people could have, you know, just sort of said, oh, this is our king, but he didn't do that.
Yeah.
He came as a humble servant. And so when I look through this lens, I've learned the importance of the outward look. It's really about people, because in this work, it's about people.
Yeah.
You know what Jesus Christ is really concerned about? He's concerned about people.
Yeah.
He's concerned about souls dying and going to hell.
Amen.
In fact, he says that he's not willing that any should perish.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But that ALL
yeah,
should come under repentance. All of them. And the last thing that I've learned is the importance of the upward look. And I direct you to Luke chapter 18. So that I'm not taking too much of somebody else's time, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but you probably recognize Luke 18 as a passage of prayer, of persistence. There's some players here, right? There's a judge that had absolutely no regard for men. None. And then there's a widow who by her continual coming wearied this judge so much that he finally just said, he gave in and said, you know what, this woman is going to drive me out of my cotton picking mind. Would you get some servants over there and get whatever it is she needs, give it to this lady because she's driving me crazy. And then there's a God. I mean, this is a big God. This is a powerful God. This is one who actions are weighed by. And in verse 7, he says, this is the same God that says, and shall not God avenge?
Yeah.
I'm starting to see through that lens a little bit better. Because this upward look, in my view, is the upward look of prayer. And doesn't Jesus say that in this house, this which is called by my name, we're going to be a house of prayer?
Yeah.
And then I see myself, or I see the absence of myself in verse 8, where he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
Yeah.
Is this the lens that we're really going to be looking through? He's talking about when Jesus comes back to get his church, what's the church going to be involved in?
Yeah.
What activities are they going to be sort of promoting in the church?
Right.
Are we going to have programs? Are we going to have things that entertain?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be something like a widow woman who wouldn't say no, who wouldn't allow this unjust judge to say no, but came back and repeatedly with the same petition every single day, every single hour, until she got what she needed.
Amen.
And God said, I'm going to not only avenge her, I'm going to avenge her speedily. You see, that's where everything sort of breaks down with our view and our lens, because this upward look is a very difficult look when things don't go your way right away.
Yeah.
And by the way, in our church, things have not gone our way right away.
Yeah,
that's right.
When we drive up to our church, if our car's not there, there's no cars. That's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, right.
I've learned the upward look.
Yeah.
I've learned how to pray differently because the results aren't there, and I have to have the eyes of faith to say, Lord, this is your work, not mine. And you're concerned with these souls much more than I am. And Austin, Texas is your city.
Amen.
And by faith, we're going to keep going.
Amen.
That's the lens I'm looking through.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
So there's three lenses. The inward look. The lens of an inner man strengthened with might by his spirit. There's the lens of a heart of faith being rooted and grounded so that you can open up and see the tremendous breadth and capabilities of an almighty God.
Amen.
Who's able to do much, much more than you ever thought, imagined. And there's a lens of an outward look where we're looking not at things that really deal with us, but how we can touch other people.
Yeah.
And how we can minister to other people. And then finally, we have this upward look, right? This lens of prayer, looking to a God in heaven that we can't touch and we can't feel and we don't have pictures of, but He's there and He's real and He wants to avenge us of our adversary.
Amen.
So I hope these three lenses become much more crystal clear as you do your ministries respectively. But these are the lenses that have changed for me in the last year and a half. And I want everybody to hold their Bible up. This may seem a little Baptist to you, but I have a song. It's an interactive song. Hold your Bible up, everybody. I'm going to sing it once, and you can sing along with me if you feel like it, right? It goes something like this. It says, get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from the Bible. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from God's Word. The inward look, the outward look, the upward look from the old book. Sing it with me. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from the Bible. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from God's Word. The inward look, the outward look, the upward look from the old book. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from God's Word.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.